God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Forgiven,
whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity,
and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found.
Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble.
You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
Thank you. Let us pray.
Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany is from the fifth book of Moses called Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work,
and his righteousness endures forever.
Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord. Full of splendor and majesty is his work.
And his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works. The works of his hands are faithful and just.
All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever.
To be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Full of splendor and majesty is his work,
and his righteousness endures forever.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 8th chapter. Brothers, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. For although there may be many so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, For some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God, for we are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus, sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is the word of the Lord. According to St. Mark, the first chapter. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose blessing shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Gospel reading, the account of Jesus casting out the unclean spirit. Immediately there was in their synagogue in Capernaum a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. This is our text. Christ, who spoke and demons fled, as we just sang, there's a cosmic war going on between God and the devil, and it seems to erupt all around Jesus. His presence draws the enemies out of hiding. They come out of the shadows, and they come into the light. The demons and unclean spirits are like giant moths attracted to a porch light. They can't help themselves. They fly to their own doom, incinerated by the light of the world. The stronger man, Jesus, has come, and he comes to bind up the strong man and his minions and to plunder his goods. The first chapter of Mark puts this cosmic spiritual war at center stage. We see it right away after Jesus' baptism. Jesus is baptized, and immediately he's driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We see it in our reading today. As soon as Jesus begins his ministry and calls his disciples, he's teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, and an unclean spirit immediately starts a major showdown with him. It screams, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" I think if we're honest, however, we have a hard time knowing what to make of such things. What are unclean spirits? And just where do they come from? And how do they manifest themselves in our world today? It's interesting that Mark seems to prefer to call them unclean. Matthew and Luke will often call them demons or evil spirits, but Mark says they are unclean. Unclean means unholy and impure. The very opposite of God. They cannot coexist with him. Anything that pollutes, anything that corrupts, anything that contaminates, anything that taints what God has made is unclean. Sin is unclean. Jesus names the very evil things that defile a person and make him or her unclean. The list is long. Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Sickness is also considered unclean, especially contagious diseases like leprosy. And death and dead bodies are unclean. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, that's why the priest and the Levite cross the road to pass by the half-dead man on the other side. They don't want to become unclean. But of course, in doing this, they defile themselves with a lack of mercy and their failure to show compassion to a person in need. And we could add to sin and to sickness and to death things like fear and loneliness and ungodly divisions and mental brokenness and addictions. These too are the work of the devil. Whatever takes us captive, anything that holds us in bondage, all that would enslave us is the work of unclean spirits. And where do they come from? I want to share with you an insight I received from another pastor recently. He made a comment about C.S. Lewis's last book in the Chronicles of Narnia called The Last Battle. There's a dwarf near the end of that book that makes the comment. He says, "People shouldn't call for demons unless they really mean what they say." Now, this dwarf had just witnessed the arrival of Tash, who is a wicked, vulture-like god, demon of the rival Calormenes. Now, the people who called for Tash to come, they didn't even believe that he existed, and yet they called him. And so it happened. Call them, and they'll come. Invite them over, and they'll make themselves at home. Open yourselves to them, and they'll be delighted to move in. And the description of this devil Tash is chilling. Roughly the shape of a man, but it had the head of a bird. Some bird of prey with a cruel curved beak. Four arms that were held high above its head, stretching out northward as if it wanted to snatch the whole land in its grip, and its fingers, all 20 of them, were curved like its beak and had long, pointed, bird-like claws instead of nails. It floated on the grass instead of walking, and the grass seemed to wither beneath it. Now, yes, it's a novel, but I think C.S. Lewis has done something wonderful for our imagination, that these evil and unclean and wicked spirits that exist are pictured for us in all their hideousness. When it came to unclean spirits, they played with fire. and they got burned. And that brings to mind a recent event. We would never invoke demons, would we? We would never call down false gods into our midst, would we? What about the opening prayer in Congress on January the 3rd? A supposedly Christian minister ended his prayer with these words, "Give us peace. Peace, even now in this chamber, now and evermore, we ask it in the name of the monotheistic god Brahma." I hesitate to even say the words. A god known by many names and many different faiths. Amen and a woman. He called on a false god. Maybe he didn't believe what he prayed. Maybe he didn't mean it. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to be cute or having fun or just being clever, trying to get attention. But I dare say he got more than that. You know what happened 3 days later. The protest that devolved into a riot that spilled into the Capitol building, and the image that I have burned into my mind is that picture and the video of that shirtless Norse pagan shaman standing in the middle of the Capitol. Both Democrats and Republicans were outraged at that violation of the temple of democracy. Do you hear the religious language? But did they simply get what they prayed for? I don't know. But we ought to be very careful before we start invoking or praying to other gods or to other things, whether we believe in them or not. Unclean spirits are real. And we should not be blind to our country's faithlessness and to the violent degeneracy that we see today. Our nation has worshipped demons for a long time. What else can you call the slaughter of tens of millions of unborn across 50 years? This is no less than the worship of Moloch, the god of the Old Testament, the false god in the Old Testament to which people often sacrificed their children. And we have countless ways of accessing pornography, all sorts of different versions of it, hardly different than the worshippers of Baal and Asherah, that could consort with their gods by visiting the temple prostitutes. And then Mars and Bacchus, the gods of war and of violence and of upheaval, adored by so many people, by the hedonism and the violence of our culture and society, worshipped in our entertainment, encouraged by the rhetoric of politicians and celebrities. Let's not doubt that unclean spirits are present in our world as well. And did you notice what that unclean spirit said in the synagogue in Capernaum? He said, "What have you to do with us?" Now, it says there's only one unclean spirit. Who is the us he's talking about? Is it the whole realm of unclean spirits? Maybe. Is it are there other spirits inhabiting this man like he is? Maybe. Or is that unclean spirit laying claim to everyone in that synagogue? What have you to do, Jesus, with all of us gathered here in this place, claiming them for the power of the devil? And who is Jesus? And where does he come from? You hear what that unclean spirit says. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Oh, the devil knows who he is, and the unclean spirits know who he is. They know that God exists. They know that Jesus is the Son of God, but they do not believe in him as a Savior. They want the exact opposite of what our Lord wants. He is the Holy One, and they are unclean. Our Lord is holy by his conception from the Holy Spirit. The angel Gabriel tells Mary that the one she bears in her womb will be called the Holy One of God. And so he is. He comes with all his holiness into the dark and corrupt and unclean world. And like I said, he attracts all of that evil to himself. Have you come to destroy us? You know, that unclean spirit is not simply talking about Jesus entering the synagogue in Capernaum. He's not saying, "Have you come into the synagogue to destroy us?" He means, "Have you come, Son of God, Word of the Father in the flesh, from heaven to earth, to destroy us?" Because that is where our Lord has come from. not simply from Nazareth, but he has come from the Father. He has come from heaven itself, and he has come to earth to reclaim those who are under the power of the devil, to reclaim those who are subject to the spirits of the devil and of this false age and of the uncleanness around us. And Jesus reveals who he truly is in this encounter. He is more than a man from Nazareth. He is one who teaches with authority, the authority of God himself. He is the cosmic Christ. And when he steps into that synagogue, when he begins teaching, when he rebukes that unclean spirit, he is saying that that is his synagogue and these are his people, and his rule is over all things visible and invisible. And it is not a contest between equals. His power is unmatched. He has come into the world to fight against Satan and to defeat him, and he will set free all the people that Satan claims as his own. And so Jesus rebukes that unclean spirit, and he says to him, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, came out with a loud cry. Jesus speaks with authority. Jesus casts out the devil. Jesus drives off the unclean spirits. It makes me thankful that he is the one that we invoke as we gather, that he is the one whose name we call upon, that he is the one to whom we pray, and that he has promised where his name is, there he is present in the midst of his people. And that he is more powerful than every unclean spirit that has ever and ever will exist. And what happened in the synagogue of Capernaum on that day is what happens as Jesus comes into our midst today and every time that we gather. You see the starkness of this contest that we are standing in the middle of, and you see so starkly the deliverance of our God. This Jesus, whom you worship, rules over all things, and he is more powerful than the unclean spirits, and his work saves you. Every time there is a baptism, we renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways in the name of Jesus Christ. The unclean spirits are told to get out and go. Every time Jesus is preached, every time his absolution is spoken with the forgiveness of sins, the unclean spirits are told to depart and to leave forever. Every time our Lord comes to us with his own body and blood, he drives out the unclean spirits and their hold on us. How are the unclean made clean? How are the captives set free? By the gracious work of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his bearing the curse of our uncleanness to the cross, that he might rise and bring the blessing of God's holiness to us. This is what he does for us. What has Jesus to do with the unclean spirits? Nothing. Get out of here. But what does he have to do with us? Everything. He took on our flesh and blood. He comes to make us clean with his own holiness, that we might belong to him forever, that we might live under him in holiness and righteousness for all eternity. And what a blessing this worship that we have is. You know, it's been almost a year that we've been living in these COVID times, not worshiping together for a while, and now worshiping together, but in sort of limited or slightly different ways. But how precious it is that we can gather to hear God's word. How precious it is that we can receive that body and blood of Christ. How precious it is that we can remember our baptisms every time those words in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit are spoken. What a gift it is that Christ comes into the midst of his people. What a gift it is that the one who triumphed over the devil and over every unclean spirit comes to us with his own holiness. We live in the midst of a battle. Satan seeks to lay claim to our lives, but for us fights the valiant one, Jesus Christ, and his word sends the unclean spirits fleeing. And Christ, the Lord of the universe, has come today and he claims you as his own. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Holy Trinity, you are God of gods and Lord of lords. Truly there is no God but you alone. All things come from you and from your Son, Jesus Christ. Reveal the saving knowledge of Christ's truth to us and to all the world, that loving you and one another, together we may be known by God. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, whose voice was heard at Sinai and whose authority was revealed in Christ, the prophet greater than Moses, send faithful preachers into your harvest. Make them diligent to listen to your word and speak it faithfully in your name. Preserve us from false prophets who would lead us away from your truth, and give us ears to hear gladly the saving words of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, guard our families and homes and build them up in love. Support parents as they pass on the faith to their children. Strengthen those whose faith is weak, and make us bold as Christians, that we might honor and love you above every earthly convenience and security. Be with all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Abby McDermott, Laura Jackson, Nika Sharon, and Joelle Brotmarkle, and protect all infants in danger of abortion. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, give health and true wisdom to our president and governor, our legislators and judges, and all who govern, protect, and serve us, including those in the armed forces, police, fire and rescue workers, and those in the medical field. Make them high in purpose, wise in counsel, and unwavering in duty. Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son cast out unclean spirits and taught with authority. He is the great physician of body and soul. Have mercy on those who are sick, distressed, in danger, or facing any need, especially Karen Hamill and Andrea Wetmore, who are homebound, Rosemarie Jackson, Virginia Fleming, Zachary, Mary Lou Thompson, Diane, Tom Connell, Janet Lipke, Kay Emmerich, Rob Gogan, Jackie Gordon, Phyllis Hoffman, Alethea Johnson, Jessica Johnson, Gary, George, and Nancy Kengis, Bud Meyer, Phyllis Morris, and all who have the coronavirus. Sustain them with patience, trusting in your merciful care, and graciously relieve them, Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, look with mercy on the colleges, universities, and schools of our synod. Be with all whose hearts are heavy and broken at the closing of Concordia Bronxville. Provide for those who were employed in that place, and continue to bless the learning that has happened over many years, that those who serve your church and those who work in the world would be blessings to their neighbors. Preserve Christian education and faithful training in our world still. And we pray that you would preserve the colleges and universities that remain. Lord, in your mercy.
Dear
Father, protect and guide all who travel, especially Amanda, Eva, and Eli Roach, and Michael Maurizio, making their ways safe and their homecomings joyful. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, bless those who have been learning the faith in adult instruction as they prepare to join our congregation. Erica Dack, Melinda DeBarra with her children, Jace and Julian, Steve and Mary Jane Meyer, Matt Phelps, Joe Salcido, and Luann Trigo. Pour out your Holy Spirit on their hearts and minds so that they love and honor you, confess the faith with joy and boldness, seek to live in keeping with your commandments, and praise and glorify you as their faithful God and Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, look with favor on all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and renewal of life, and so receive a foretaste of the feast to come. Lord, in your mercy. All of these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless be the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.